Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at it again, back at the boot camp. Hope you're ready for the next episode. We are continuing the replant road trip, still on our way to Knoxville. Brandon's doing a great job keeping us safe, fending off the bad guys like Jason Bourne.
Tell you what, I just feel so safe next to Jason Bourne.
Well,
and otherwise known as Brandon Moore. Look at those shades.
When the deep resonance of his voice comes out, it just makes me feel secure.
You have a beautiful
I think my
voice.
Best similarity to Jason Bourne is after wrestling my sons lately, I feel like he must feel after fighting those guys.
These little guys.
No, I feel destroyed. They are actively like their goal now.
Do you let them win wrestling matches or do they have to earn it?
Yeah. One a time or two, I've let them, but, you know, just to keep them coming back
for
more.
If you don't know this, Brandon has 4 sons.
Yeah, it's a...
What are their ages now?
8, 5, 1.
Oh, dude.
So it's...
Listen, this is the last shot. This is the last season that you can destroy these guys, because you get a few years, it's all over.
It's done.
So it's all over.
I've already had to create rules like you can't jump on dad's neck from the top of the couch.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Man, once a couple of those guys hit growth spurts.
Oh, man. You're going to have some battles in that home, man. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Hey, look, towards the end of the last episode, Mark, you started to talk about making sure we're coming with some passion, coming out of the overflow of our ministry. Why does passion matter in leadership, in prayer, in preaching, in pastoring?
Man, that's a really good question. And I would say, when you think about leaders or preachers or people who've had a major influence in your life, maybe teachers you've had, my guess is this, that they were passionate individuals. Now, when I say passionate, I'm not just saying loud, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's what sometimes we think passion. Now, it can be loud, but it's not just loud. I think when I think of passion, I think biblically, it's what Paul often refers to as zeal.
Yeah.
Zeal. Zeal for the things of God. Zeal for truth. Zeal is this deep commitment. It's a conviction that this matters. And not only do I care about it, but you should care about it too. And I think when it comes to leadership, when it comes to life, I think God has created us to be passionate people. Because God cares deeply about things, and we should care deeply about things, namely his glory, right?
Yeah.
We should be passionate about God and about his glory. We should be passionate about reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus. We should be passionate about our families. We should be passionate about our churches. And I think it's such a key piece when it comes to leadership in particular.
Yeah.
Here's what I know, man. Nobody wants to follow a leader that's not passionate.
Yeah.
Not for long. Because I'm going, and nobody wants to listen to a preacher that's not passionate. You know what I mean? Because the first thing you're asking yourself, whether you know it or not, is, does this guy really believe this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in leadership, I'm going, man, he's asking a lot of me. How committed is he to this cause? You know what I mean? Like, is he all in? And sadly, I think we have churches that are oftentimes led by guys who might have been passionate at one point, but they've lost their passion.
Yeah.
They've lost their passion. And
so
often,
what do you do when you lose? Like, I was talking with a pastor recently and said he was in a tough situation. And I said, man, don't let this situation steal your joy.
Yeah.
And immediately he goes, what joy?
What joy? Yeah.
And so when somebody's in that situation, how do they regain that passion for what God has called them to do?
Dude, that's a great question. And on one level, I would say this. I think it totally depends on the individual. I think we're all wired differently. We respond to things differently. Different things set us on fire. At the same time, I would say this. I think there are key ingredients to regaining passion. I think one is, I mean, here's what we know. Ultimately, this is a work the Lord has to do in your heart and mind. It's a work the Lord, you can't actually do it.
Yeah.
Which is actually the good news, is you need the Lord to do this in you.
Yeah.
So part of it begins with being honest with the Lord about this. Lord, you see my heart, you see my life. I've lost my passion. And I hate that, because I have to believe if you're regenerated, you're a spirit-filled believer, you hate the fact that you're not passionate. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so part of it is bringing that to God and just naming the reality. Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm. You know, I don't want to be here. And so, God, I need you to do a work in me. You know, I beg you, Holy Spirit. And I think that's the posture you stay at, and you keep begging and you keep pleading and asking the Lord to do that. Now, I think God uses means at the same time
yeah.
to help give us fresh fire. He uses his word. He uses prayer, obviously. I think this, one thing I would say to guys who like have lost their joy, lost their passion, is a couple things. One, what lies are you believing? My guess is you're believing stuff right now. You're thinking about stuff that is not true about you, about God, about your sin, about the gospel.
Yeah.
And so what lies are you believing? Because Satan wants you to believe lies. And here's the thing. When we believe lies, it obviously takes us out of alignment with the truth of God. And I believe this. As you believe lies, you begin to quench the Spirit of God. Because you're not walking in the truth. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah.
So there's a spiritual battle element to this. And so what lies are you believing? Another question is, what sin are you indulging?
Yeah.
Just to be straight up, man. Like, listen, if you're indulging sin, like you wonder why you don't feel close to God. You're indulging sin. Now, what I know is if you're saved, you hate the fact that this sin is in your life.
Yeah.
But my question is, do you know that by the power of the Spirit, you can mortify, you can kill that sin?
Yeah.
That's what Paul says.
Yeah.
Paul says that. You know,
put
I think
to,
of
put to death.
Put to death by the Spirit. Because all that sin is doing, and you know it, and I know it, stealing your joy, it's stealing your passion, and it's causing you to live in the pit of despair. That's all it's doing.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I want you to hear today that that's not who you are, Christian. You've been called, saved by Jesus to be set free, to live in the joy of the Spirit, to have passion that overflows, that's not fake, but is a fruit of the Spirit in your life. And so a third thing that I would say is, do you have friends, do you have people in your life who are speaking to you the things I'm speaking right now?
Yeah.
Who are fighting for your joy, literally.
Yeah, know you well enough to see when,
yes.
when it's missing.
Yeah. And if you don't have friends like that, man, I would say it's going to take some effort. You got to find some friends, some other pastors. Pray about it. Go to your associational leader. Literally, you're going to have to put yourself out there. It's going to take some effort, but you need friends. Maybe you've got buddies from that you went to college with or a church you were part of in the past. That, man, you were like, we were just growing in the Lord together. Call them up, man.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. Call them up. You do what it takes. I think when it comes to joy and passion, because oftentimes, I'm glad you brought up joy.
Yeah.
I think in many ways, they go hand in hand.
I think so, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we've got to fight for joy. And we got to fight for passion.
Brandon, how have you, I know a lot of our listeners are bivocational and they're trying to manage a lot on their schedules, kind of like you, with a lot of demands on your life. It's real easy to get lost in the mechanics of ministry and just neglect the deeper aspects of your spiritual walk and can slowly lose that joy and passion. How do you, with a heavy schedule, maintain a high level of joy and passion for ministry?
And I think one of the biggest texts, and I was drawn back to it this morning, was Psalm 127. Just remembering and meditating on that like when the Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain.
Yeah.
And I think remembering that, and then later in the passage it says, like, the Lord gives to his beloved sleep. I think for those of us that are like juggling multiple jobs or roles, whatever they may be, like you just got to remember at the end of the day, like you're limited, and sometimes you just need to go to sleep.
Yep.
Like, that's right.
I mean, just last night I was like, I was talking to my wife and just sharing like, there's several things I probably need to get done tonight. And she was like, no, I think you just need to go to sleep. And I was like,
yep,
I think you're right. It's probably going to take me twice as long to get the one or two things done as if I just woke up in the morning and waited and did it until then. Yep. And so I have found that like trying to discipline sleep, and I've earlier in my ministry and life, like I would just try to push the edges of how little sleep I could go with.
Yeah.
But when I do that, like it drains all ability in me to be passionate. Like I just don't have the energy. Like a huge part of passion is energy. So I think it starts with sleep, and rightly understood, rest of any kind, sleep in particular, should be worship for the Lord that recognizes like he is the one that's limitless and we are the ones that are limited, and we need him to restore us and to sustain us. And so like viewing sleep as an act of worship and embracing that. And then with that goes guarding morning and evening routines. I'm a bit more of a morning person than a night person. I know that's different for Mark over here. Just like he loves the evenings.
Love
all right. And so I don't like it, whichever one it is.
You got to know who you are though.
Yeah. You got to know who you are, and you got to like, you got to guard for those of us that are morning people. And that's where you're going to get the calmest time. Like I've got to get up before my boys get up.
Yeah.
And I'm usually too tired at night to like really do deep work. But I have to discipline my evenings to not get caught binging a show with my wife and to just go to sleep so that then I am able to actually get up when my alarm goes off in the morning. And
that's
so
good.
Like I know those are just like really practical things, but it's about building those boundaries so that you can enjoy the freedom of being with the Lord. And then one other piece I'll mention is something that I've implemented is having some alarms set throughout the day. That'll go off to just remind you. And maybe you don't have a chance to stop in those moments other than to click it off. But I set them so that I'll stop and pray. But sometimes I'm in the middle of a meeting or something to where I can't like stop right there at that moment. But it's still a reminder of like, I need the Lord in whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm working on.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the pieces for me that just in the midst of like the busyness of this season of life that the Lord's really allowed to just stoke my ongoing passion and love for him.
That's so good. Here, let me share just a couple more thoughts on this.
Jump in.
I think a couple things to remember about passion, okay? One, the world is passionate about all kinds of things.
Yep.
Okay? And here's why that matters. Your people are going to catch passion. The question is, what kind of passion? What are they going to be passionate about, and what are they going to be passionate about? Four. I read a book years ago. It was on teenagers and youth ministry, and I'll never forget it because it said teenagers are like heat-seeking missiles. They're drawn to fire. The problem is that there's not a lot of fire in the church anymore. And I've never forgotten that. And I think, you know, look at our culture. Look at the rise in the trans movement. You can look at all kinds of things. And what you will see is young people, and not just young people, but adults, are being sucked into things by very passionate people.
Yeah.
And the problem is they're passionate about the wrong things. Listen, passion is God's thing, man. This is our thing. We can't let the world hijack the passion that we're supposed to have and be aimed in the right direction. And so here's what I was going to tell you. Listen, if we aren't growing in passion and conviction, and helping others not only see that, but experience it and become passionate themselves, they'll catch fire about something else. And so, and many times it is the opposite of what we want them to be passionate about. So that's one thing. The second thing is this. This is real practical. Passion looks silly.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Here's what I mean. Passionate, if you are a passionate Christian, I mean, think about it. We're already aliens. That's what Paul says. We're aliens. So we're already as Christians. Like, if you're trying to be a cool Christian, dude, you're done, man. There's no such thing as a cool Christian. You're an alien.
Except for Brandon.
Except for Brandon. That's true. He's the one exception. Our own Jason Bourne. We love him. But apart from that, like, listen, we're not supposed to be cool. We can't be cool.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing's true with joy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Christians, they don't lean into joy and passion because it looks a little silly to the world.
It stands out.
It stands out, and it's supposed to. And what I want to say is, dude, lean into it. You're an alien. You're supposed to look different. Like, you want the world to go, man, I don't know what that whole joy thing is and that passion thing is. But there's something about it I'm drawn to, and they should be. But it's going to look silly. So what I'm just saying that is, as a leader, it's going to look silly to your own people sometimes. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Your security is in the Lord. You know, joy is, it's supernatural. A lot of people don't know what to do with it. Some people will accuse you of being fake, even though it's not. And I would say is, dude, don't let any of that stuff bother you. You be a joyful, passionate Christian and a leader. And you watch how God uses that to bring people hope and bring people to himself.
You know, some people think, oh, you know, passion, it's, you know, if it's that high energy, it's fake, it's whatever. My pushback to that always has been, I guarantee you, if we talk long enough, I can find the topic that gets you animated.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, so you may at church seem cold and distant and just be like, oh, that's just the way I am. But if I start talking to you about your college football team or your pro team or politics or, you know, your hobby, or I get there's something. If I keep asking, there's going to be something that if we start talking about it, you're going to get a little bit animated. And maybe your animated isn't as much as some, but people will notice a difference. And what's happening is you're not being fake. You're not putting it on. You actually deeply care.
That's right.
And deeply resonate with whatever it is that connects you to that hobby or that political ideology or party or whatever. And it feels like it's a part of your identity. And so now you're talking out of your identity. And because you're talking out of your identity, there is naturally going to be some passion and joy that comes from that conversation. And so that, to me, that's a diagnostic of, like, if that's not true, when you talk about the Lord or when you talk about the Word of God, then that's something you've got to explore and figure out why is that not rooted in your identity enough that it automatically links and brings you into more passion.
Dude, that's good.
Conversation.
That's a good word, man. That's a really good word. And, you know, another way to grow in this is you need to be around passionate people.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
It's contagious.
It's more caught than taught many times.
Yeah.
Passion and joy. It just is. And so what I always say is, what books are you reading right now? Like, if you want to grow in your passion for the Lord, man, there's certain authors I'm going to read.
Yeah.
Because their passion, their zeal, it just comes right through the pages. It's who they are. You know, if you're wanting to grow in passion in other areas, are there people in your life? Are there podcasts? Are there things that you can listen to to fire you up, man?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I think we need that. We need to look for it. We need to find it. Because we need others. Again, God's created us. We need one another. And we need to catch fire oftentimes from others.
What would you say to the guy that seems to always, rather than passion and joy, his passion seems to come out in kind of the prophetic voice, you know, I'm going to pejorative, I'm coming against, I'm fighting against the culture, I'm fighting against the, you know, the heresy, I'm fighting against. And it seems like they're always passionate, but it's almost like, doesn't seem like a joyful passion.
That's
it
right.
Seems like
an angry passion.
What would you say to that guy?
Here's what I would say. Don't think you're the prophet. I hear some guys use that as an excuse. Man, I'm just a prophet kind of guy. And I would say this. Listen, here's what I know. Passion is to be expressed in such a way that it produces the fruit of the Spirit. Okay?
Yep.
So if passion is not marked by love and joy, kindness and goodness, and yes, truth, but not truth apart from love.
Right.
Not truth apart from joy.
Yeah.
That's the distinguishing mark. And so I would say, man, if you're that guy, I would say, man, I'm so thankful for your passion for the truth, right? And that's so important. But I'll tell you this, if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to lead people, over time, what you're going to do without love, without grace and kindness and patience, you're going to just make a lot of enemies and you're going to tick a lot of people off and you're going to hurt a lot of people. And you can say, well, I'm doing it in the name of truth. And I would say, well, brother, I would say this. I think what our world needs is truth. in love. And I think what your people need is truth and love. And you'll know because they just won't come anymore. You know, you won't have any friends. You'll wake up one day and go, I'm a pretty miserable guy, you know, and quite frankly, I don't have many people who want to be around me. My wife doesn't want to be around me.
Yeah.
And so I would say, listen, and I speak as somebody who's very passionate about the truth.
Yeah.
But I think this is where how you communicate that. If all it is anger, then I would say, brother, what's going on in your heart? Because I think that anger shouldn't be anger. There's a righteous anger. We know that. There's a righteous anger. And I think right now in this culture, I think it's right to feel a righteous anger.
Yeah.
But I think that righteous anger, in terms of how we communicate and how we live, is to be tempered and flowed through the Spirit of God and His work in our life as we seek to be gracious, and patient, and joyful. What would you say, Brandon?
What? I think it's got to do with, like, where is that passion rooted and that prophetic voice rooted? Because that may be, like, the unique position some guys are called to, right? Their unique propensity and personality that God's given them, wired them for. But, like, it can very easily be rooted in fear of, like, what's happening in the world around us, which drives our anger, rather than, like, a deep love for the Lord and a weeping like Jesus weeps over Jerusalem,
right?
That they don't have that and aren't experiencing that.
Yeah.
And the anger being directed at the effects that sin is, that the havoc it's wreaking on people, but like a compassion that leads to a pleading for people to like experience the joy and the kingdom of the Lord. And so I think it's got a lot to do with, like, what is it, what's it rooted in? Because then even righteous anger will clearly be drawing people towards joy in the Lord, not just purely just to a weeping and gnashing of teeth over sin.
Right? Yeah.
That's a piece of, like, coming to recognize sin and weeping over that, but also that leads to, hey, there have joy in the Lord.
Yeah, and honestly, I would say, just as a warning, just with social media the way it is, I think you need to be honest about your heart and what you're drawn to. I think especially in this political season, the rest of this year, it can be real easy if you're kind of naturally bent toward anger and you know, taking a stand against what is wrong, which again is good, but I think there's enough voices that are going to feed that anger in you.
Yeah.
And I would say, man, be really careful. Be really careful. I've seen guys that I've known. I mean, I've got friends who, dude, used to be joyful, love Jesus, encourage. They're now, everything they post is just negative. It's mean-spirited. They're not who they once were, man. They've drifted. And I would just say, be really careful about who you're filling your mind with, who you're listening to, who you're surrounding yourself with when it comes to passion.
I think biblical passion is substantive. It's like it leads to action, right?
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
right.
just An it's emotion. Not just posting. It's not just kind of this empty talk about something, but rather it's, you know, it's something like Jesus. Anytime you see the compassion of Christ, the passion's rooted in there, and it leads him to action for people.
Yeah,
right?
That's good. That's really good.
We have a blog series coming out with the Replant team on gospel joy. So just as kind of a final word in the connection of joy and passion, how would you define gospel joy?
Yeah, so I think immediately of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, where it talks about, you know, putting off sin and weight, which clings so closely, and running the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And like it is, gospel joy is, I like the phrase joyful endurance should mark our lives. Cause we often think about like the Christian life. It is hard. Like it's a call to a narrow way. It's a call to sacrificial and costly life, and ministry, vocational ministry in particular, has a unique spiritual warfare and cost to it. But it's not just a grind it out, grin and bear it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like our lives, it should be a joyful endurance, right?
Yeah,
and so
good.
I think the gospel, like when we're rooted in Jesus, it enables that. That's why Hebrews says, look to him. One, see how he endured with joy.
Yeah.
But that also leads you to run that same race with a joyful endurance.
No, that's
well.
Good. That's so good. And I think jumping from that, I think another aspect of that gospel joy, as we remember and celebrate who we are now in Christ, I think one of the realities that leads us into is a right understanding of the sovereignty of God in all things.
Yeah.
And I think this is huge. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God is not simply something that I have debates about. It is a doctrine to help us persevere with joy in this life. And so, you know, I would say joy comes literally with a settled assurance that God is in control
yeah.
of my life and the world. And he's good and he's for me. Like, do you believe God is not only with you, but he's for you?
Yeah.
If there's anything the incarnation teaches us, is that God is not only with us, but God is for us. Mm. He's come to save us. And so the joy of knowing that the Lord is in control, that he's with me, he's for me, it takes the pressure off. You can laugh a lot more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's not all on you. And I think joy exudes a quiet confidence that, quite frankly, everything's going to be good because the Lord is on his throne, man. He's on his throne. He's with you. And he's for you. So that would be a couple more thoughts.
Yeah. I think gospel joy is rooted in the confidence in the Lord. Brandon, what are some ways that our listeners can continue to pray for you? And then would you pray for our listeners?
Yeah, you can pray for us. I think I've shared on previous podcasts that we've landed in Knoxville. We're looking to replant the church with the collegiate ministry. And the Lord's just opening some incredible doors that honestly, like, we're just trying to, like, hang on for dear life as we walk through them. Just pray for our family as we continue to get settled in, that our boys would just find some really good friends. And then pray for our core team. We've got many people that are starting to move to Knoxville. And we'll kind of be a steady stream through the rest of the year leading up to launch next year. So just pray for us as we begin to minister to the church that we're going to get a chance to replant that's 5 minutes from UT's campus, and just that we would build relationships, love them well, and really bring a unity between the established church there and the core team that's coming and slowly integrating themselves into the life of the church.
That's good. Will you pray for our listeners as they yeah. pursue gospel joy and passion in their ministries?
Yeah. Father, we're just so grateful for your goodness and your faithfulness, that it's your good pleasure to give us what we need, to most of all, to give us your Son. And Lord, may we just remember that you're working all things for our good. God, I pray. I know there's people listening to this podcast that are walking through seasons of suffering, or maybe they're just coming out of a season of suffering. Lord, I just pray you would sustain them and strengthen them, God. There may be on here that have been fired, or they've had, you know, threats or conflict lately that have come up. God, I pray that you would sustain their gospel joy in this season. Allow them to take just a deep-rooted faith, like faith, hope in your promises and in your goodness. Lord, draw near to you, Lord, and pray all of this name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp Podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp Podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.